the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you. Of them to the greatest, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity
and remember their sin no more. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will say Psalm 46 responsively today. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble.
Therefore we will not fear, though the earth be moved, and though the mountains shake in the depths of the sea.
Though its waters rage and foam, and though the mountains tremble with its tumult.
There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High.
God is in the midst of the city, it shall not be shaken. God shall help it at the break of the day.
The nations rage and the kingdoms shake. God speaks and the earth melts away.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold.
Come now, regard the works of the Lord. What desolations God has brought upon the earth.
Behold the one who makes war to cease in all the world, who breaks the bow and shatters the spear and burns the shields with fire.
Be still, then, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. The second reading is from Romans chapter 3, verses 19 through 28. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced, and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For no human being will be justified in his sight by deeds prescribed by the law, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been disclosed, and is attested by the law and the prophets, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are now justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by his blood, effective through faith. He did this to show his righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over the sins previously committed. It was to prove at the present time, that he himself is righteous and that he justifies the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of boasting? It is excluded. By what law? By that of works. But no, by the law of faith. For we hold that a person is justified by faith apart from works prescribed by the law. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
St. John, the 8th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you will be my disciples, as a place in the household forever." So, if I consent to, right? What's happening on Wednesday? Anybody know what? You're going to Sunday school? Yeah. When do you go trick or treating?
Wednesday.
Wednesday already?
Oh my goodness! On Wednesday. Wow. Well, are you going? Or are you going to stay home? You're not.
I'm going.
You're going. Are you going to wear a costume? What are you wearing? An owl? You're going to be an owl? Are you going to be wise as an owl? Fantastic! And what are you going to
do? I'm going to be Loki's, like, a superhero.
A superhero. Okay. Do you know which one?
Loki.
Loki. Okay. Tell me about Loki.
He's a really bad dude.
Oh.
His brother's all like, we're both brothers, man. You should be cool, too. And then he's all like, okay.
All right. Well, are you going to wear a mask?
No.
Are you wearing a mask? No, not wearing a mask. We always went trick-or-treating. We put a mask on to hide who we were. Do you think it would change who we were? Underneath, we'd still be the same us, wouldn't it? That's what Jesus is talking about today. You know, people can wear a mask and they can pretend that they never sin, they never do anything wrong. But underneath, they're still there, just like you will be. You might look like Loki, you might look like an owl, but you're not, right? Because underneath, you're a child of God. Anything better than that? No. So let's thank God for that, shall we? Thank you, God, for making us your child, for wiping us clean so that we might be a part of your kingdom. And bless all those people who see us as owls and Loki and all the other goblins that are out there. Bless us so that we can bless others. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat. At this time, I'm inviting Katie Luther to come forward. Guess who I am? Oops. On the eve of Halloween, October 31st, All Saints Night, in 1517, Martin Luther nailed 95 theses or statements on the church door at the Church of All Saints Church in Wittenberg, Germany. In 1520, because of those 95 theses, he was excommunicated by the Pope.
During his time hiding from the Pope, Martin, language of the people, he created what we call High German, driving force for reforming the church. He also established a social welfare program to help the poor, the homeless, and the hurting people in the world. He became a mediator for leaders and rulers. He wrote the catechism to help parents teach their children the basics of the faith.
And in 1525, I married Katrina von Bohr. Am I missing a... Oh, here we are.
You start.
Yes, I was missing a page. Katie, don't be so upset. I have to go to Mansfield. The governors are arguing with each other again. I'm needed to help make the peace.
My dear Martin, you always have to go. You go to this conference and that conference, to this meeting and that meeting. It's been the same our whole married lives. In 22 years of marriage, nothing has changed. You've been working too hard. You've been sick, and now you insist on going again.
I'll be fine. I know you're home here taking care of things. You're my morning star.
Don't you morning star me.
Katie, you are my morning star. You are the one who shines through our darkest nights together.
Oh, Martin.
I don't know what I would have done without you for all these years. The night our little Elizabeth died, the night our little Lena died, those nights when I was sick and almost died.
3 times you almost died.
You've always been my light of hope that morning will come.
Oh, Martin, must you go? You're 64 years old. Don't you wish?
I remember those days.
Oh, dear. You're so tired. Let one of the younger men handle it.
Jeremiah, would you like to? I have to go, Katie. Please help me get ready.
Martin, this morning I was thinking, do you remember my first letter to you?
Of course. You were living in the convent
And you wanted me to help you and the other nuns escape.
I didn't know where to turn for help. I hated that convent. And I can't understand how my parents could have put me there when I was only 5 years old. How I missed them, my home, my brothers and sisters. I was so unhappy for 20 long years.
And then you wrote that letter. But why did you write to me?
Well, because you were the symbol of our freedom. You called us to be free in Christ and no longer slaves to unreasonable demands made by a tyrannical church.
Oh, how I love plotting your escape. The way I got Leonard Copey to come and rescue you in his mercantile wagon, there one Easter evening, the convent was quiet. I can see it as if it was yesterday.
Yes, and the sisters and I all hid in my room. And then, around 9:45 at night, we snuck out through my window and quietly waited until the wagon came. I thought it would never come. It felt like forever. I thought for sure that Mother Superior would wake up and catch us and punish us for trying to escape again.
Then you got into that wagon between barrels of pickled herring under the canvas. Leonard drove all night to reach freedom. And when you arrived in Wittenberg the next morning, you all smelled like pickled fish.
I didn't know how to act. My hair was cropped so short. I had on dowdy clothes. All those people from Wittenberg staring at these runaway nuns. I was afraid. And then you sent me to be a maid for some people.
But you didn't stay there. Eventually, you proposed marriage to me.
I proposed marriage to you?
Of course, Katie. Don't pretend otherwise. You know that you took the initiative and told my good friend you wanted to marry me.
Amsdorf.
I was trying to arrange for you to marry Pastor Glatz.
Glatz. Ugh. Of all people, so boring. The thought of living with that boring blob the rest of my life made me sick. And so, I refuse to marry Pastor Glatz. I would rather marry a man of strong character like Dr. Martin Luther. And Amsdorf was shocked out of his gizzard when I told him that.
Was he ever? He couldn't wait to tell me. Was I shocked?
I wasn't proud, stubborn, or haughty. Perhaps rather a bit willed, strong-willed. Just the kind of woman you needed.
Yes, that's true. You were my kind of woman, a strong, independent German Fräulein. Spirited red hair and pigtails.
And then 2 weeks later, when I was 26 and you were 42, you had the gall to come and propose to me saying, God has put it into my heart to marry you as an example for the other priests. As an example? Why did you say that? You wanted to marry me not for love, but as an example.
Katie, that night I didn't understand love, affection, or tenderness. I didn't understand women.
Not only that night. Well, how about after our wedding, you took our wedding presents and started to give them away to the beggars and the poor people. And you took that priceless vase, the Venetian glass, given to us by the governor, that one. You gave it to a poor student so he could sell it to pay for the rent. And then you would say to me, God will provide, Kate.
He did, didn't he, Kate?
Well,
think about it, Kate. The governor gave us the cloister in which I lived as a monk. 40 rooms. He gave us a home with potentially 40 rooms.
But what a mess. The place was covered with centuries of soot. I had to work years to refurbish that place.
But God did provide for those 40 rooms for us, did he not, Kate? And then he provided those students to live with us, 12 boarding students per year. God gave us income from them, did he not?
12 hungry, messy, smelly, dirty men.
And then because the house was so big, God provided a home for our 7 nieces and nephews, in addition to our own 5 children.
And ye provided you-know-who to do all the work. Now, let's Let's count it up. 12 students to feed, plus 5 of our own children, 11 other children, that makes 28, plus Aunt Lena and Wolf, the gardener, that's 30, plus your 3 professor friends for dinner daily, and that's 33, then you and me, that's 35, plus the visiting dignitaries.
And you forgot about the time the Agricolas couldn't find a place to live. So they and their 9 children came to live with us. That's 46 and counting. God gave us such a big house, gave me you, so we could care for all those people.
Sometimes, Martin, I think life would have been a lot easier in the convent.
Well, that's the point, Kay. God didn't want to cloister you off from the world in a religious convent. He wanted you to be here in the world, serving him and our neighbors. That's what holiness is. Holiness isn't sewing beads on a chasuble in a monastery.
I know that, dear. I guess that is why he gave us 40 rooms and a big yard for a garden. I do remember a letter that you wrote to me, Martin. You addressed it to Catherine, Lady Luther, Lady Doctor, Lady of the Pig Martin. Pig Market. The Pig Market?
Yes, Katie, you are my Lady of the Pig Market. You've been a great farmer. With the enormous garden you fed us through all those years, all the cucumbers and carrots and lettuce, the chickens and pigs and goats and cows. You see, Katie, God has provided for us so generously.
But we wouldn't have had to work so hard if you would have been paid for all those books you wrote. You have been one of the world's most prolific authors, and you never made a dime from any of your writings. But the publishing company certainly did.
That still sticks in your craw, doesn't it? You have resented it our whole life, and I didn't receive a nickel from my writings.
Martin, look at these hands. I had to work my fingers to the bone. We could have used that extra money.
I know, Katie. I know. But so we haven't been rich in the things of this world. God has given us other riches. He has provided for us in all circumstances of our life together.
Like when little Elizabeth died and when Lena died.
And when the plague struck Wittenberg and the whole town ran away, but we stayed to help. And God provided for us.
But he didn't protect us from all the evils of life, Martin. I still cry when I think of baby Elizabeth and when little Lena died. Martin, she was only 12. That was the worst night of our lives together, the night she called for Hans to come.
She so admired her oldest brother.
Her death was awful for all of us. It was so hard.
Yes, Katie, incredibly hard. Life is hard. The cross is hard. But God has provided for us and protected us. He's protected us from selfishness, from despair, from giving up hope in the face of adversity. And he's provided you for me, my morning star after the dark, long nights.
But even better than that, we have the gospel promise. The good news that Elizabeth and Lena are living eternally with God because of his grace.
Yes, the promises of God are so wonderful, we can never comprehend them. How I cling to those gospel promises. I couldn't live without them.
I need you here, Martin.
I must go, Katie. We've got to finish this packing. I'll need a copy of the Old Testament and New Testament along, and I think I'll take along a copy of Aesop's Fables.
Aesop's Fables, the ones you translated. Martin, Martin, what a blessing you've been to the world. You gave the German world the Old Testament in our language and the New Testament too, and you translated Aesop's Fables for us. Your very works have become our language. I sometimes think that the world does not fully comprehend what God gave to us when he gave us your mind and your spirit.
Careful, Katie. Let's not get too proud.
But, Martin, it's true. Most of the world doesn't know that you created High German in the process of doing your translations, that it was your urging and insistence to the political leaders that created a community chest to help the poor and homeless. And there's so much more. I love you, Martin.
And I love you, Katie. Katie, my rib. You're part of me.
I know I now have to join the rest of the party. I must be going. Hans and Martin Jr. will come by with a wagon to pick up the luggage. Goodbye, Kate. I love you.
I love you, my good doctor. Martin, promise me you will take good care of yourself and you will write.
Often, I promise.
I did hear from Martin. 5 letters in 14 days. He was so busy and still not feeling well. He preached 4 sermons and ordained 2 young pastors. The quarreling governors even made peace. I was expecting him home any day, but then one morning while at breakfast there was a knock on the door. It was his good friends Melanchthon, Buchenhagen, and Jonas. I looked at their faces and I knew that my Martin had died. It happened in the town of Eisleben, the very city in which Martin was born and baptized. There is much I loved about Martin, his love for the gospel, his joy knowing that our Heavenly Father is infinitely gracious and kind to us sinners. I love his courage. He was not afraid of popes or princes. He stood up for what was right, no matter how powerful the opposition. I loved his deep and tender affection for me and the children. One time he was rocking our daughter Margaret to sleep. It was just before Christmas. He was all alone with her in his study in front of the fireplace, rocking and singing to her, as he often did, until she finally fell asleep. He then wrote down these words, which became one of my favorite hymns. I can almost hear him singing it now.
Von Himmel hoch, da komm ich hier, ich bring euch Güte neue mehr. Der Güten mehr bring ich so viel, davon ich singen und sagen will. From heaven above I come to bring good news to every home. Good tidings of great joy I bring, whereof I now will say and sing.
The last verse was my favorite.
Ah, dearest Jesus, holy child, make thee a bed soft undefiled within my heart, that it may be a quiet chamber kept for thee.
The last line is the one I love. My heart, a quiet chamber kept for thee.
In 2013, I was invited to join a delegation of Lutheran and United Church of Christ pastors in traveling to Germany for a German-American Reformation trip, 17 days of continuing education. As a Lutheran, I was required to study the Heidelberg Catechism, and the UCC pastors were required to study Luther's Catechism, which, by the way, is one of their historic documents, too. Martin Luther's writings were key elements in the teaching and writing of John Calvin, Zwingli, and other reformers. United Church of Christ and the ELCA both share full pulpit and communion fellowship with each other, along with the Disciples of Christ, the Presbyterian Church USA, the Reformed Church, and the United Church of Canada. After my study, I came home convinced that we truly are brothers and sisters in Christ. Any differences in teaching, in liturgical practice, or church polity are not in any way worth causing divisions or separations. The motto of the UCC is one we Lutherans can fully embrace. It's based on John 17, verse 21, that they may all be one. For in truth, we are one family in Christ. One of the documents of the UCC states that members and congregations are independent in matters of doctrine and ministry and may not necessarily support the national body's theological or moral stances,
They're free to disagree with the statements made by their leaders, and we have found that to be true also. May we all be one in Christ, even when we disagree, centering our hearts, our minds, our souls on our mighty fortress. Amen.
Amen.
Let's join in singing, "Listen, God is calling."
Longing for God's will to be fulfilled among us, we pray persistently for the church, the world, and all people in need. Holy God, work in your church across denominational and cultural divisions to form us into a more complete expression of your holy community. Show the world your likeness through us, Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
By rain, rivers, and oceans, remind us how your word flows through this world, surrounding us with grace. Keep us always in the covenant that is sealed in water and spirit. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Free us from lies we tell ourselves or others in order to justify our words and actions. Lead us to speak honestly and to listen humbly, and reveal your truth among us. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Be a stronghold for people who are in danger this day. In your righteous presence, cause the evil that surrounds them to flee, and clothe them with your mercy. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Continue making all things new. Seal your covenant with humankind and write your law on our hearts. Make repentance a regular habit for us so that forgiveness abounds. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Guide all the saints in proclaiming the good news of salvation in Christ, as you did with Simon and Jude. Bring your people eternally into Christ's presence on the last day. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Enfold all things in your compassion, O God, and bring us into your life through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share that peace. Thank you.
Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us in what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love. Through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and Merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me. Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming again. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom, with you and the Holy Spirit, be all honor and glory now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Come, the banquet for all is now ready.
body of Christ.
Please stand as you are able. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen and keep you in his grace.
Amen.
Let us pray.
God of abundance, with this bread of life and cup of salvation, you have united us with Christ, making us one with all your people. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world and continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Triumphantly praise through flesh and blood.
Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.